From struggle to jubilation, the Psalms reveal the human experience. The Psalms also serve as a wonderful tool for devotion and reflection. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Engaging the Psalms, a Guide for Reflection and Prayer. Learn more about this new devotional resource at issuesetc.org or purchase Engaging the Psalms by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Engaging the Psalms, a Guide for Reflection and Prayer.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
Jesus is fully God, but he's also fully man. We see him in his humanity, sleeping in the back of a boat during a storm in Luke chapter 8. Now, he's asleep. That shows that he is a man. He grows tired. Of course, the Son of God never sleeps or slumbers. So his divine nature that has assumed this human nature in the incarnation is ever watchful and ever careful, especially as his disciples fear that they're about to die in this storm. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson today, Jesus rebuking a storm in Luke chapter 8. Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
So how does Jesus manage to sleep during this storm that so frightens his disciples?
Well, if you read the text, this is Luke 8:22. He got into a boat with his disciples, and he wanted to go to the other side of the lake, Sea of Galilee. So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. That occurred before the windstorm came. But then in the next verse, a windstorm came down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and the disciples were in danger. So I don't know about other people, but I tell you, when some of us go to sleep, we can hear fireworks outside or hear of a car accident on the corner, and we're still asleep. And that can be because we're kind of content with life. And there was no reason that Jesus didn't have to stay awake, because he knew something that the disciples were soon to learn. And so at this point, we have him. And that was a very good point that you made. What we're dealing with is the divine nature and the human nature of Jesus Christ. And this is going to be one of the miracles where he uses his divine attributes. Now, what do I mean by that? He himself says to the raging waves, he tells them to be still. He rebukes the wind. Now, no human being can do that. And the fact that Jesus does that on his own word shows that he is divine. If you go one chapter later, Luke 9, verse 16, he's feeding the 5,000, but when he gets the two loaves of bread and the fish, he takes them, and it says in verse 16, he looks up to heaven and says a blessing over them. Now, that looking up to heaven is his gazing to the Father to do this miracle. And so it's very interesting to go through the Bible and see, when Jesus does a miracle, is he doing it of his own divine attributes, or is he doing it as a human being and asking God the Father to do it? Very important to make that distinction. I had made a mistake, and Mark Smith had corrected me, when I thought that in his state of humiliation, he never used his divine attributes. He set them aside. But Mark showed me a number of places that he did, and so I've changed my mind on that, that Jesus here, and this is what's so good about the CPH lesson, they use this particular miracle to show that he is divine. Last week, we talked about him being human. And as you said, he still showed his humanity by falling asleep, which God never needs to do. But he also showed his divinity by himself saying to the wind and wave, be still.
What are the disciples afraid of?
The disciples, obviously, one would think that it says they were filling with water and were in danger. And so one would think that they were afraid of being drowned. And that's probably correct because they wake him, telling him, Master, Master, we are perishing. And then he rebuked the wind and the wave. But it's kind of interesting that there's another section in the scripture which comes right after this. When Jesus gets to the land he's going to, there's a man who is demonically possessed. And he was very strong. He would break his bounds, the bonds that he was tied up with. And there was within him a bunch of demons called Legion. Now, there was a large herd of pigs feeding there on the hillside, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission to do that. But then the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake, and they drowned, which itself is a miracle because it's really hard to drown a pig. It keeps popping up to the surface. But at any rate, the people went to see what had happened. And here's what it says. They saw Jesus sitting at the feet. They saw the demon who had been demon possessed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And look what it says next. And they were afraid. And I think you can also say that, yes, initially the disciples were afraid that they might drown. But also, they marveled, it says verse 25, and they were afraid. About what? Who then is this that he commands even winds and water that they obey him? So even after the winds and the water were stilled, the disciples are still afraid. And this is a very big point that needs to be made in this Sunday school lesson.
How does Jesus calm the storm?
He calms the storm by simply standing up and he rebukes the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased and there was a calm. Now, we all kind of remember that the sea was the abode of Satan, and people hated, boy, drowning in the sea, etc. So that Jesus is rebuking the sea, because Satan is the one, I'm sure, that was given permission by God to allow this windstorm to occur. And of course, God was using him again, as he did with Job, in order to fulfill his will, and namely to bring the disciples to a fearful understanding of who is this individual who can command even wind and water, and they obey him. See, they're still not getting the sign. Jesus mentions that with the feeding of the 5,000. He speaks about afterwards that even with the feeding of the 5,000, they saw the miracle, but they missed the sign. They concluded that he was going to be a bread king. And so they followed him because maybe he's going to give us money or food or clothing or households, etc. And they missed the sign that Jesus was kind of interplaying what Moses had done in giving manna to the people who were hungry and of course, birds. In this case, he gave fish, as Moses had given birds, and it was all God doing that. In other words, the feeding of the 5,000 is what should have been on people's minds. And as Moses said, I'm not the one giving you this manna or these birds in the morning, but rather God is doing it all for you. And so we don't know of anybody among the 5,000 who proclaimed he is God. They still were stubborn in their understanding of God, and it took more teaching on the part of Jesus, as well as the crucifixion and resurrection and the day of Pentecost, to really open their minds to the proper sign.
So what is Jesus asking when, after he's woken up and rebuked the waves, he says to his disciples, where is your faith?
Yes. The word faith is another word for belief or trust. Now, what does faith mean, therefore? It means that there is a promise somewhere that the disciples need to trust, and they weren't trusting it. Now, is there any promise in the Bible that indicates that if your boat is sinking, you will not drown? No. We need to be very careful here. There were many Christians on the Titanic, and they were praying to God, and yet many of them drowned. So what is this story about? It can't be that if you only pray to God, then he'll take care of you. No, there's something else here. What was it that they were not believing? Well, almost a casual reading of the Old Testament indicates the place where the Messiah is going to be going to in order to be put to death. And that place, according to Psalm 22, it says he will be pierced in hands and feet. There are many passages in Isaiah and elsewhere talking about the type of death that Jesus will experience. Therefore, the disciples should have had strong peace and comfort. Yes, there's a big storm, but according to my faith in the scriptures, there's no way that we should have said to him, Master, we are perishing. Jesus isn't going to perish on the water. And therefore, this is very important to teach to the Sunday school children, because we don't believe that this text is saying that if you're in a storm, that you may not drown. I once had a Sunday school student, and that's what got me teaching this lesson, is he had a friend who had drowned in a swimming pool, but his friend was a Christian. And so you can only imagine, if you teach this lesson saying, if you have prayers to God, then he will deliver you from perishing. No, that's not true. He will deliver you from an eternal death, but it doesn't mean that he's going to deliver you from death. And the disciples learned that when what we believe is all but John on the island of Patmos became martyrs of the faith, even after Jesus had risen from the dead, and their prayers were answered.
We're talking with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus rebuking a storm in Luke chapter 8. For almost 30 years, Tom met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. How do the disciples react to Jesus calming the storm?
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll wrap up 1 Corinthians with mystery and victory, collection and travel, everything done in love, the household of Stephanas, and final greetings. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
From struggle to jubilation, the Psalms reveal the human experience. The Psalms also serve as a wonderful tool for devotion and reflection. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Engaging the Psalms, a Guide for Reflection and Prayer. Learn more about this new devotional resource at issuesetc.org or purchase Engaging the Psalms by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Engaging the Psalms, a Guide for Reflection and Prayer.
Sanctifying your child rearing with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those words of Jesus have been the motto of Concordia University Chicago for generations. We build our education on the Word of God, the only sure foundation for learning. I'm Dr. Adam Francisco, Dean of the College of Theology, Arts, and Humanities at Concordia Chicago. And I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for God's Word to become the foundation of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Engaging the Psalms, a Guide for Reflection and Prayer, contains all 150 of the Old Testament Psalms. With each one, there is an opportunity for reflection and prayer. Then, in the very back of the book, there are several Bible study resources as well. It's kind of a one-size-fits-all study of the Psalms. You could do this individually. As a Bible class, it could prove as a guide for reading through the Psalms. There are a lot of different ways that Engaging the Psalms can be used as a devotional resource. You can find out more about this resource at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for Engaging the Psalms, a Guide for Reflection and Prayer, the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for July. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus rebuking a storm in Luke chapter 8. So, Tom, how do the disciples react to Jesus calming the storm?
Yes, they are afraid because they're facing something they don't understand. And they say to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" Now, it's very interesting that the disciples, though they were believers, they were very weak in their faith for a long time until the crucifixion, resurrection, and Pentecost. And all somebody had to say when they asked, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water and they obey him?" "Oh, did you guys forget about the crossing of the Red Sea?" It's very interesting the way that that is described, is that a wind came and divided the waters, and there were two walls of water, and the Israelites were able to walk through that. Now, Moses had put his staff over the water as commanded by God, but it wasn't Moses who divided the water. It was God. And so one would think, who are these disciples that they forget about the Old Testament, the crossing of the Red Sea where winds and waters obeyed God, And even when they arrived in the land of Canaan, they had to go through the Jordan. And what did God do there? He divided the waters of the Jordan. So these disciples were kind of blinded because they could not understand who this Jesus was, even though it was so obvious if you would only read the Old Testament. And therefore, when they say, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." Well, after Pentecost, they gladly would have said, "This is Jesus, the God that we believe in." And that's why the CPH material is so good in showing that Jesus also is divine, because in his human nature, by himself, he would not have been able to do this without his Father. But in this case, he doesn't use the Father. He himself rebukes the wind and the raging waves, and there is calm.
What do we learn about Jesus in this account?
What we learn about Jesus is something the CPH material does very well here. Namely, that yes, Jesus stilled the storm, but he continues to do the works of God in my life. Now, that's something the Sunday school children need to realize. And the CPH material does some pretty good job in that the children are asked to think of times where solutions were found where they had problems in life, and to show them that it was God behind those solutions. And even when you have a problem in life, like maybe your brother or sister dies or your parent dies, the solution to that is, as they were Christians, you will be seeing them again. And so, as the CPH material says, as true God, Jesus is at work in my life, protecting me from danger and rescuing me from sin, death, and the devil. Now, somebody would say, "Well, wait a minute. What if they had drowned? How would that have been rescuing them from death?" Well, the death that he rescues us from is the death he talked about to Adam and Eve. "In the day that you sin, you shall surely die." That's eternal death. That's not just physical death. And it is that eternal death that Jesus took care of by dying on the cross. And my God, why have you forsaken me? Because Jesus was experiencing hell at that time with the separation from the Father. You go back to the Garden of Gethsemane, that's what Jesus was really concerned about, his separation from the Father, not just the cruelty of the cross. And therefore, regardless of where these children are, Jesus Christ continues to protect them from danger and rescues them from sin. That means they don't have to pay for their sin eternally. From death, which means they will rise again from the death, even in the body. And the devil, who will no longer be in their presence because he will have been sent to hell.
So what is the answer to the disciples' question, "Who can this be, for he commands even the winds and water and they obey him"? Who can this be?
It only can be the true God. You can have human beings who get up in a boat and say something like that, but in reality, nothing would happen. I mistakenly, we were on a camping with the young people, and we were at a member's cabin, and they were on a river that you usually could just walk across. It was so shallow, but it was after winter and it was pretty well a strong current. So I got my two sons in a boat, And they were very, very young. And I had a motor, so I wasn't concerned. And I went out giving them a ride in the middle of the lake, and I got caught on a branch of a tree that was coming out of the lake. And we were in the middle of the lake. Boy, I did what the CPH material said, even though I hadn't read it. I prayed to God and asked him, because the motor was very small, and I tried to get away from the branch, and it was difficult. Now, who knows what would have happened if the water had overcome? And I kept looking back thinking, well, maybe the water will stop. But if you've been on a river, the water doesn't stop. But by God's grace, the motor had enough in it to pull us around, and we went back to shore. And I'll tell you, I didn't take the kids out again. I had learned my lesson. But there, God had protected us and rescued us from possible death. And he does this a lot. We drive many, many miles to go to churches in Illinois, and it's a lot on two-lane highways, one lane going one way and the other going against it. And you often wonder, what would happen if the truck or car coming at me would get a flat tire and veer into my lane? Well, that would be the end. But we've been doing this for almost 2 years now, and fortunately, we've been very, very fortunate. And that's because this is what this lesson is talking about. God rebukes Satan for what he wants to do to us and continues to rescue us since we believe and have faith in his promises.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Pope Francis' edict on the Latin Mass with Dr. Corey Moss of Hillsdale College. We'll get a biography on 18th century Lutheran cantor Johann Sebastian Bach, otherwise known as one of the greatest musicians ever to live. Dr. Joel Hurl will be our guest, and we'll continue our Book of Proverbs series with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. It is in God's hands. The disciples' lives are in Jesus' hands there in that boat, and he urges them to trust him and his promises. Well, the promise is clear to us as well, and we can trust the God who holds us in Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.